Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Practical series, but there is a foundational truth that we're going to jump into today. We'll be here at least for 4 weeks. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Somebody say, God's not done. Oh, man, there's a young person that's yelling it out. That's right. I need you to shout that to your generation. God's not done. Thank you. And this is our year of Jubilee. Praise God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples. Four words. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Your heart has to match your words for your words to work. Verse 24 is so awesome. I tell you, you can pray for anything. Somebody say anything. Somebody say everything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Oh, what a revelation. God said in your life, in your spirit, in your mind, you have to realize you've already received it. And once you believe that, you will receive it. Once you receive it here and here, it'll show up here. That's why some of what we're saying isn't working. We don't believe it here yet. We haven't been transformed here yet, but when you get here and here ready, praise God, God will bring it to pass in your life, and we will see what God sees when we say what God says. Somebody in this room say, nothing moves until you speak. Now someone say, speak up, praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many of you know someone, don't point them out, but how many of you know someone who is all talk and no action? Man, Josh just got up. I thought he was going to walk out. I was like, my God, just sit down, man. We'll make you a man of action. Don't worry about it. We all know people who talk a big game, but their walk does not match their talk. Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, we've been labeled as the name it and claim it group and the blab it and grab it group. And I understand where that jest and those jesting remarks comes from, because they've been exposed to people who say a lot of things but live a lot less. Or they say and speak, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and it never happens. While my kids were growing up, they were exposed to great men and women, and a lot of these great men and women of faith. I loved my kids being around them because they were around giants and generals who've done something, not just said it. But then they were also exposed to people who talked a big game. And I remember when Tyler was just a little boy, he would say, man, did you hear what that guy said he's going to do? And I had to tell him in nicer five-year-old words, but I had to tell him, Tyler, he's a liar. I've known him for 30 years, and nothing he's ever said has come to pass. He was saying the right things, but there was not much proof, or there was not much existence behind those words. The world believes, and the world is getting it wrong quite a bit, church. The world believes that you can manifest anything into your life. They make vision boards, and I'm all about vision boards, but you cutting out a couple pictures from the internet and paste them on a poster board you got from Hobby Lobby and putting them on your door and your bedroom, it's pretty, but it don't mean a thing unless you get up and work. Remember, desire will put it on the poster board, but discipline will bring it off the poster board and put it in your driveway, put it in your family, and put it in your life. So the world loves to manifest. I'm manifesting good vibes, and You hear it now. It used to be when someone faced calamity, my prayers are with you. Then they added, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I don't need you thinking about me. I need you praying for me. You thinking about me, that's playing with me. Don't play with me. Pray for me. And now they say, we need thoughts and prayers and good vibes. I don't know what to do with your good vibes. Your good vibes don't spend in heaven. Your good vibes don't help me. I need your faith in Jesus. I need the word of God coming out of your mouth into my situation, my heart, my spirit to encourage me. But the world doesn't play like that. The world says that they're manifesting things. And when you hear that word manifest, it is a new age principle. Anytime that there is a spiritual belief and that word new is attached to it, it is a humanistic, in its foundation, it is a humanistic philosophy. It is man-born, man-governed, man-evolving. And can I tell you that you don't want to follow anything and you don't want to put your faith or your life and your future into any new age concept or any man-made concept. But manifest in its definition means to attempt to attain something that you desire by thinking or focusing intensely on it, that you intently focus on it, especially as a spiritual or self-help practice. Isn't it scary that you and I work with people, shop with people, do life with people? Some of these people have the same last name as we do, that they think just by thinking the right thought, it's going to change their life. I wish it was that simple. I wish I could just, do I have hair yet, y'all? I'm thinking, am I 6'5"? Mandy, check the account. Do we got $1 billion? I'm thinking hard. Thinking doesn't do anything, church. You can think from your couch for the rest of your life. You can think on Sunday mornings for the rest of your life. But until you put some actions behind those thoughts will never incubate to maturity. Those thoughts will die a slow, miserable death. And then we will have the audacity to blame God that he did not say what he would, that he did not do what he said he would do and what he promised did not perform in our life, when at the end of the day, it all came to us that we were thinking things, but we did not follow those thoughts up with action. There's another law called the law of attraction. It is the belief that a thing a person thinks about habitually and continually or in a focused way, that those things will just appear in their life. And I am not in any way denigrating our thought life, because it does start with a thought. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." However, just thinking something does not make it appear, does not make it happen. But write this down if you're taking notes. Our thought life shapes our obedience or our lack of obedience. What you think about perpetually, what you think about habitually and constantly, that is going to start running the direction of your life, because you are going to become obedient to the thoughts that you think about the most. But I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations. You know, most of our problems are not even man-made, they're thought-made. Most of the stuff we worry about never comes to pass. Most of the stuff that plagues our mind, that we literally go to bed wondering, how is this all going to work out, and what if ourselves to death? What if she leaves? What if she stays? What if I don't have enough money at the end of the month? What if the world ends tomorrow and the money at the end of the month doesn't matter? And we what if, and we what if, and we play this hypothetical scenario, and we hype ourselves up on fear, and most of that stuff never happened. My parents grew up where they used to have to not have fire drills stop, drop, and roll at school, but they were wearing tinfoil hats getting under their desk because of the Cold War and because of the threats of Russia. They were preparing for something that never happened. How much of our life are we running scared and we are hypothesizing things that never happen in our life? This is what the Bible says: cast down those imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against, not you, not I, but against the knowledge of God. Remember that when those kind of crazy thoughts come into your head and those crazy hypotheses and imaginations come into your head, they're not coming after you, they're coming against God. And if they're coming against God, that means it's God's battle to fight, praise God. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and here we go, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 4 minutes or 4 decades in this room. You are flesh, I am flesh, and we will always have thoughts that just pop in our head out of nowhere that we should not have. And every time one of those thoughts pops into our head, it is our duty to say, that is not a God thought. And I'm going to stack that thought up next, and I'm going to make that thought bow to the obedience that is Christ. Isn't that amazing? Not to me, not to the authority and power that I have, but the power and authority that Jesus has given to us as Spirit-filled believers, that there is no thought that happens on a Friday night. There is no thought that happens on a Sunday night that can get you out of the will of God, but God will speak to you and God will lead you. And every thought you just say, nope, that's not a God thought. I'm gonna put that in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is gonna make that thought bow to him, not me, to him. All those thoughts. On Friday night, us men, we took a deep dive in the life of Saul and King David, 2 Kings. David had a bad thought that turned into an affair, that turned into lying and manipulated and premeditated murder. What would have happened on that rooftop if King David had said, that thought is not from God. That thought is rising and trying to exalt itself above the God in my life. So I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to sacrifice that thought on the altar of obedience and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet we think about it way too often. Am I helping somebody today? We think thoughts we shouldn't think, and you can't help that, but you can help continually thinking about those thoughts. You can help continually letting your mind live in the valley of indecision or the valley of indiscretion or the valley of fear. Let me tell you something. It's not all right to be depressed, but I'm going to tell you something. It's definitely not good for you to be depressed more than 6 hours or a couple days. But why? Because the enemy wants that thought to become big in your life, and before we can speak the right things, we've got to believe the right things, and that thought shapes our obedience. That thought shapes our obedience. Just thinking something does not make it happen. Our thought life shapes our obedience. Remember what Romans 12 says. Paul says we are transformed by going to church every Sunday. That's not what he says. We are transformed by serving on the dream team. Nope. We are transformed by giving 10 or 15% of our income. Nope. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, our thought life, in alignment with Jesus, his word, his will, and his promises. I am not worried about what the world is doing. My concern and my prayer is for a church that needs to align itself with the Word of God so that we have a strong foundation to stand on, so that when we speak, mountains don't laugh back at us. Mountains don't talk back to us, but mountains move when we speak the Word of God. And it all happens with a correct thought life. Somebody say thought life. Man, y'all are helping me preach today, and I appreciate that. Many times, what we say doesn't work. I say we. We say doesn't work because what we say, we really don't believe. I knew it'd get quiet right there, but I'm talking to us, not just you. There's a lot of times we say the right things. Have you ever heard somebody that doesn't speak English? They have another native tongue, but they learn English, and they don't know what the words mean, and the words sound different coming out of their mouth. They're mimicking what they've heard, but they don't know the meaning of it. Some of us are parroting what pastors say and podcasts say. Some of us are parroting what God says, but because it hasn't taken up thought life and hasn't taken up root in our mind, and because we haven't been transformed, we are just saying what we have heard. And there's nothing to back it up. Joshua 1 tells it like this: to meditate on the word day and night. We must think it, we must believe it before we speak it. If you speak it before you believe it, you are going to end up like the sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. The sons of Sceva had seen Paul's ministry, and Paul was casting out devils. And every time Paul would cast out devils, he would say, in the name of Jesus, demon, you have to go. Devil, you have to flee. Have you ever been around somebody that could chase devils out of people? Praise God. Have you ever been around somebody that gathered devils to live within them? Praise God. I know both. The sons of Sceva had been to church. but had never become the church. They had learned church words, but never had had their thought life transformed. They weren't thinking the right thing. Your thoughts will shape your obedience. Your obedience will shape your actions. And so they fast forwarded to actions, but no obedience because their thought life had not been transformed. And so these seven sons of Sceva walk up to a demon-possessed person and they say this, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the devils talk back. And they said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who in the heaven are you? Well, my church teaches, not good enough. Well, I heard Pastor so-and-so say, not good enough. Those devils might know, and you better be careful stirring up devils that you don't know how to take care of, that you can't cast out, that you can't put in their place. I am here to tell you, and Pastor Bishop tells a great story about another preacher that went into some place that had a bunch of devils and was preaching, and he stirred up all those devils, but all he was a preacher. He couldn't cast none of them out, and so Bishop went a few weeks later, and the pastor of that church said, now, Steve, this was when he was young, he said, now, Steve, don't you be stirring up devils that you can't take care of. And Bishop said, I came to stir them up, but I came to cast them out, praise God. But we've got a generation of people that don't know how to speak the word of God because they don't have the authority of the word of God. They don't have a foundation. Their thought life hasn't changed. And so you get emotional in a service like this, and then we leave this building, we go to our jobs, and we start talking to the devil. And the devil says, you're not near as bad as you think you are when you're not in a Living Way altar surrounded by hundreds of believers and a praise team and a worship team and leadership and accountability. You're all by yourself today. And I know Living Way knows how to worship. And I know Living Way knows how to preach. And I know the Jesus that you're talking about. But I can tell that you don't know the Jesus you're talking about. And the Bible says that those evil spirits jumped out of that man and they beat those seven boys up and they stole their clothes and sent them running naked. I am here to tell you today, it is 2025 and we don't need no meek and mild Christians sitting in the corner singing kumbaya. We don't need a generation that can quote two or three scriptures. I need a generation that lives the word of God, that can stand and say, no matter what the devil does, he knows me, but he knows the God that serves and lives in me. Living Way's not going to cut it. The words of your pastor are not going to cut it. I'm out there fighting devils every day. And I'm not saying whom the God that Tammy preaches. I'm glad Tammy knows Jesus. And I'm glad Tyler knows Jesus. But when I talk to the devil, it's a one-way conversation. And I have to remind him, Jesus has already defeated you, but he has given me authority. He has given me power. He has given me faith to stand on what has already happened and to put you, I'm talking to somebody today, you don't need an exorcism from a priest. I know some of us grew up Catholic and we put too much love and too much concern on the priest. You walk into your house today, kick open the front door and say, devil, you can't stay here. Devil, you can't live here. You've got that authority. I don't think they're getting this preaching everywhere this morning, y'all. Transform our minds. Joshua said it. You better meditate on it. You better believe it before you say it. You better believe it before you say it. David said it like this. I've hid the word of God in my heart, that I might not sin, there that word is sin, that I might not commit an action that separates me from God. Thought life shapes our obedience. Our obedience determines our actions. If you're not doing the right thing, it's because you haven't obeyed the right thing, which means you haven't had the right thoughts, which means that God has not transformed your mind. And if God has not transformed our mind, it's not the church's fault, your mother-in-law's fault, your preacher's fault, or anybody else. You've got a Bible, 66 books on your phone now. You come to a church like this, you're going to have to get up and say, hey, today I'm going to live the word of God, not just speak it. I'm going to live it, believe it, breathe it, and become the word of God. We think we think, what we think is powerful and does matter, but only when we combine it with our thoughts, with the right actions. A strong foundation in the word is a must for us to be able to speak right. A lot of times I use the word manifest, manifested, manifestation. And that is a Bible word. It is continually brought up throughout your Old and New Testament in the King James Version. But in 2025, they have manipulated that word to mean something that it is not. And I know that I'm preaching to the proverbial choir here today because you're in church on a Sunday morning. But again, I'm not so concerned with the manifestors outside in the world. I'm concerned with what I'm still seeing, not just at Living Way, but in churches around the globe that have new believers, that you are burning sage and praying. Doesn't work. You are looking to your horoscope, and then you're going to the Word of God. I could care less whether you're a Libra or a Capricorn. I just need to know, are you a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ? Blessing and cursing cannot come out of the same mouth. Let's get back to the speak. If you are going to speak, you can't be dropping F-bombs on Monday and then worshiping and praying on Monday night. You can't be attacking your spouse and talking down to your stepkids and then trying to talk to God and act like everything is okay. It cannot happen. There cannot be two life forces flowing out of the same mouth. Don't undo what God is doing by saying something that is not godly. Taking the name of the Lord in vain and then acting like y'all are homeboys on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning. You are not fooling Jesus. He is not fooled. You are a well. There is only one type of water that can come out of that well. The average American says 16,000 words a day. You have a chance to frame your world 16,000 times, or you have a chance to damn your future 16,000 times. But I'm not going out like that. And as a pastor, I'm calling all of us up. No more idle talk, I-D-L-E. No more idle talk, I-D-O-L. No more talk about, no more gossip, no more defame. No more talking about them. Let's talk about him. If I'm not going to help them, I'm not going to hurt them by talking. But if I've only got 16,000 words to use in a day, I'm not going to let 50 of them be the F word. I'm not going to GD this and GD that. I'm not going to waste words tearing down what God is wanting to do. So when I use the word manifest, I use it in the biblical sense. I've talked about God's manifest presence, manifest promise. When you hear that word, I'm using it as it is defined. It means to appear or become apparent. It means it like this, church. When I say manifest, it means it is already done. So when we speak healing, we are not begging God to touch our body to heal us. When we pray, what we're saying is, God, you have already done it. It has already happened. It has already appeared. It is already in the cosmos. I'm just bringing it to where I am today. Remember, by your stripes, we were healed. It is already done. So I speak it, not begging for it. I speak it, declaring and decreeing what has already happened, praise God. Here's what the Word of God teaches. Three things about manifestation. Number one, we have faith in God, not the universe. The universe doesn't owe you anything. The universe is not out to get you. You say, well, karma is a real thing. Karma is a real thing. That's just another name they've given it. Karma is you reap what you sow. That's a Bible principle. The universe doesn't hate you, doesn't love you. The universe doesn't know you exist. But there's a God that says, I want you to have faith in me. And I don't want you to just talk about me. I want you to let me transform that mind so that I can shape your obedience, so that I can determine your actions, so that you can live and step into the promises of God. God is our source of power. Number two, God's will is the ultimate authority. Not your personal desires, Not what I think, not my opinions. God's will is the ultimate authority. God's will is not evolving. God's word does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if this world holds together another 1,000 years, God's word will still be the same. It's the ultimate authority. Number three, speaking God's word and believing his promises is key to seeing spiritual fruit and miraculous breakthrough. There is no one in the room or online that is watching today that as a mature believer doesn't say, God, I want to have more spiritual fruit in my life. God, I want to see your miraculous breakthrough and power and the favor of the Father on me and my house and what I'm doing. There's none of us that don't want that. However, remember, desire will get you out of bed, but discipline will get the job done. And you and I might have desires that well up and that are unleashed on a Sunday morning, but it's going to take discipline tomorrow. When they puff, puff, pass, you let it pass and you get up and go somewhere else. When they say it's happy hour time, nope, it's time for me to go home because nothing good is going to happen at that bar, on that stool, with those people. I am disciplined. I'm disciplined to turn Netflix off. I'm disciplined to turn Hulu off. I'm disciplined to get in my word. I'm disciplined to say no to the wrong people, yes to the right people. I'm disciplined to show up at the house of God to serve, to love, to give. Spiritual fruit manifesting in the believer looks like these four things very quickly: believing God's word, declaring God's promises, acting in faith, and trusting his timing. I've had this question posed to me a lot from new believers, and it is actually a very deep, meaningful question. This is the question: Pastor, you always talk about a prayer life, but I feel like if I pray for the same thing more than once, it's a lack of faith. I understand that question. Great question. Deep, philosophical. Because in some respects you would say, let me pray it one time in faith and I'm going to stand. But the way that I've always explained it is I love Mandy. Mandy knows I love her. But February 15th, 2003 was a long time ago. And so every day, multiple times, and she can tell you, multiple times, I love you. Well, wait, doesn't she? She knows I love her. I've said it before, yet I say it again to remind her, but also to remind me not of just the love, but the covenant. When you pray the prayer of faith, and you pray on June the 22nd, and it doesn't happen in June the 23rd, you pray it again, not because you don't believe and not because you had a lack of faith or you're struggling. You're just reminding God, I know you can and I know you will. I know you love me and I'm just telling you I love you and I still got love and faith and hope that you are going to do it. And I believe, God, that there is a covenant between us. And so I'm just going to keep praying and declaring. I'm going to keep speaking it until I see it. I'm almost out of time. Before we speak, we've got to check our foundation. If you've been here at Living Way for a few months or a year or two, one thing we don't do here at Living Way a lot is we don't have a lot of guest speakers. And I'm excited about the conference we're having in October, and that's exciting. We're putting the finishing touches on the guest list and who's going to be coming in and preaching and ministering, all of those things. But one of the reasons why we don't have a lot of guests is it's not hard to find good preachers. And let me back up. It's not hard to find good speakers. It's hard to find people who live what they preach. We always say practice what you preach. No, we should be preaching what we've already put to practice. And there's a lot of men or women that we could put behind this pulpit that could preach a word that would preach us happy, preach us, fill the altars and all that. But at the end of the day, even though that word still works, why would we want them when we can get somebody who's living it and preaching it? So I asked Bishop many years ago, this was probably 15, 20 years ago, I said, you ever heard so-and-so preach? He said, man, I've heard him preach. He's a really good preacher. I said, he's a great preacher. I said, we should get him at Living Well on a Sunday or a Friday night or a special service. And this is what Bishop told me. He said, he is a great preacher, and he would do really well at Living Well. He said, the only problem is his words don't work. Not the word doesn't work, but they haven't worked for him. Have you ever heard somebody quote a verse that you know they're not living? And if you're like me, you probably roll your eyes to their face. But if you're like Mandy, you just do it internally. But why would we want someone preaching here if we know they're not living it there? I know the word still works, but why not get someone who is proving? That's what David and Saul got into it about when David said, I'm going to go defeat the Goliath. I've defeated a lion and a bear and this Philistine uncircumcised. The same thing will happen to him. And so Saul said, well, here, put on my armor and go out and fight. And David put it on and he was struggling to move. And he said, I cannot take this armor. I cannot wear it because I have not proved it. Can I encourage somebody today? If you are going to speak it, you better be able to prove it. If you are going to talk it, you better be able to walk it. If you are going to say it, you better be able to back it up, because the enemy and his attack is going to be at the level of what you talk, not how you act, what you talk. If you say you're a believer, we'll see how much of a believer they are. If you say, give me your best shot, he's going to bring you his best shot and more. So before we start running our mouths at the adversary, we better make sure we can prove what we say. I'm preaching to me just as much to you, because you know where the easiest place to bow up and talk trash to the enemy is? Right here. Because we're an emotional church. People are amen, and that's right, pastor. And and that's great. Emotion is good, but emotion fades. And that big bad devil's going to show up on a Monday afternoon when it's just you and him in the break room. He's going to wake you up at night, 2:30 in the morning, with a night terror, sleep paralysis. He's going to whisper in your ear, not so tough now that you don't got the church behind you. Where's the prayer team now, Brandon? Where's the worship team now? And he's done that. And I better make sure that what I'm preaching, what I'm saying, has substance for me to, in those moments, say, devil, you got 3 seconds to get up out of this room and to get up out of this situation. Because if I count to three and you're still here, we're gonna have problems. And see, some of us have been letting him talk that talk, and we've been going back and forth with him. There is no dialogue with the devil. You tell him the word of God. You speak that word with authority. You tell him exactly what he needs to do. And then you know how much of a believer you are by how he responds. Does he laugh? Does he run? Stand on your feet. We're going to get to speak. But before we speak, we need the foundation, thought life. Thought life shapes our obedience. Obedience determines action. There's some great declarations that we're going to make over the next 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Some great confessions, some of the greatest confessions in all of the Bible. But I'm so tired of Christians, us, relegating the Word of God to a refrigerator magnet that we look at every time we go in there for a Dr. Pepper or a snack. And we just say things like, oh yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the devil knows you don't even mean it. Get it tattooed on our bicep, but it's not on our heart. It's got to be something that we are, not just something we say. I get so weary of people that are single telling everybody who's married how to have a successful marriage. Those that have no children telling everybody how to parent. Those who are out of shape telling everybody else how to get in shape. And even if you're telling me the right things, your words don't work for you. I don't want to hear it. Or someone who is broke telling people how to get rich. I was amazed. Last night, I had no idea that I was friends with so many people who are foreign policy experts, that they know what the president should and should not do. And this has always happened. And I'm reading through posts and comments, and I'm like, this person's talking about the world, and I know the shape their house is in. they're talking about decisions for billions of people, and they can't keep their four straight. There's a lot of times we want to talk about everybody else, but it's our house. It's what we're doing. It's what we're going through. I pray for Iran, I pray for Israel, I pray for Palestine, I pray for our leaders, I pray for San Antonio, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to waste words on those situations. After I prayed about it and put it at the foot of Jesus, I'm going to take care of me and mine. I've got more problems in the Fender's house that I can take care of than to worry about what's happening in Iran. I promise you. Talked to my friend Matt Hagee, Ed Newton, these great pastors all over the city. I don't complain about what's going on in the city with them and what's going on in their churches. We don't get together and commiserate. Why? Because there's enough business for me to handle it living way than for me to chunk stones at what somebody else is doing. Speak life, Brandon. Speak life, living way. But if you speak it, you better be willing to live it, because the devil's going to try you and he's going to check you. And it's not going to matter who your pastor is. And it's not going to matter where you go to church. In my business, I'm going to open the altar here in just a second. In my business, I meet people every week, and we will do business for months, sometimes years, before they ever find out I'm a pastor. They know I'm a Christian, but they don't know I'm a pastor. And then I ask them, are you a believer? The number one go-to response is telling me where they go to church. That's not what I asked. I asked, are you a believer? But then I always ask them, oh, okay, who's the pastor there? 9 out of 10 times, they don't know the pastor's name, which tells me they just said something that they're not living. We've got enough Bible verses floating around on Facebook. We got enough commentaries and apps that will send us a Bible verse a day to keep the devil away, only if you know how to use it. What we are raising up here, we're going to start it this week with this internship. We are raising up new believers, young believers, reminding mature believers, we need to walk this out. We need to walk it out. If you're in this room today, and what you see does not match what God sees, or what you're saying doesn't match what God says, or what you're seeing doesn't match what God promised, I need you to get out of your seat, and I need you to join us in the altar right now. I don't need you to think about it overly. I don't need you to contemplate this decision. I just need to know, does your life match the promise of God? Does your life match the vision, what God has given you? If it is not matching, I'm talking about 100% aligned, I need you to step out of your seat. I need you to join us in this altar right now. Doesn't matter if you're a leader, doesn't matter if it's your first time, doesn't matter if you're one of the youngest, doesn't matter if you're one of the eldest. God bless you, Mary. Mary's one of the greatest women I know. And I love the fact that we've got leaders who say, nope, I got to get more in alignment. What I'm seeing is not what God promised, and I need to get in alignment. It's happening, Mary, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Seeing new faces in the altar, seeing familiar faces in the altar, seeing my friend Mike, who got saved 2 weeks ago, got baptized this past week, in the altar. This is a moment. Seeing young men, praise God. Seeing young ladies, praise God. Seeing ushers, praise God. If you're in this altar, I need you to lift your hands to heaven right now and just say, God, I want to see what you see. I want to see what you see, but help me to say what you say. Help me to say what you say. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, right now, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, they're still coming. Come on, celebrate. Look at all these men coming down. Praise God. Praise God, men of God. Praise God, men of God. The enemy thought he had you, but look at you. Every step you're taking, you're putting him in his place. You're reminding him, I am a man of God. Praise God. I don't know where all those men came from, but God knew exactly where they were, and he knows exactly where he's taking them. Praise God. As we sing, as we worship, we're going to throw down the gauntlet right now to everybody in the room. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. It's impossible to say it with the authority outside of Christ. You can talk a big game. You might be able to fool me, But you're not going to fool that adversary. You need Jesus as the number one of your life, prioritizing. He's your Savior. Make him your Lord. This is your moment. If that's you, join us. Our altar team and prayer team's going to be praying. Stop one of them and say, hey, I'm here to rededicate, or I'm here to get saved for the first time. I'm here to say yes to Jesus. If you are here in this altar or in this room and you've never been baptized in water, we baptize people every week. This is your moment. This is your moment. Let's make it happen. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, next week, 1 week from today, you're going to hear an amazing testimony from one of our young people from camp last year about that gift. But I don't want you to wait a week. I want you to be able to take the Holy Ghost to Walmart with you, in the family reunion with you, on vacation with you, and to your job. If you need the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, this is your moment. Don't be scared of it. Embrace it. That power is going to come into your life. If you need healing, let's make sure we're seeing what God sees and saying what God says. That healing, it is made manifest. It's already appeared. We just got to bring it into your reality. If you need deliverance, this is your moment. Whatever you need from God, if you're back at your seat right now, I need you to stretch your hands and start praying for those in this altar. I'm going to ask Ashley to come and help us pray. I'm going to ask Johnny Goodrich to come help us pray. Angie and Rexy and Aaron, Estevan, come help us pray. Miguel, come help us pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kelsey, come help us pray in Jesus' name. We're going to come through here. Our team's going to come through here. We're going to lay hands and pray. But this is your moment to pray, to talk to God right now. There's an authority that God, that you've been missing out on, that God is bestowing to you. Your eyes are opening in the Spirit. You're going to see this authority and this power that God is saying, hey, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you so that your words, they match the transformation that has happened in your life. Let's pray.